Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and we are continuing in our series that we have been doing. And I want to continue tonight in chapter 7. Hopefully, we'll be able to finish this particular chapter up. We've been spending time in the first 14 verses of chapter 7 as we were considering the nine characteristics of better living. Nine things to keep in mind with regard to better living. As we mentioned before in chapter 7, good or better, the words that are there, tob in the Hebrew, appears more times in this one chapter than in any other place in the Old Testament. And so there's an emphasis that's made here that I think is very important, and we want to be able to continue that. And I'm going to be reading tonight the verses of Scripture beginning at verse 15. Of this particular chapter from the Complete Jewish Bible. This was translated by a very conservative scholar by the name of David Stern. And he grew up as a Jew. He knows Hebrew very, very well, and also has a PhD in Hebrew, and has some very good insights into the Scripture. And I want to read tonight, beginning at verse 15, through the end of the chapter here from the Jewish Bible. You follow along in your Bible as well. In my life, I've seen everything, from the righteous person perishing in his uprightness to the wicked one who lives a long life and keeps on doing wrong. So don't be overly righteous or overly wise. Why should you disappoint yourself? But don't be overly wicked and don't be foolish. Why should you die before your time? Don't grasp just one of these rules. Take hold of the others as well, for he who is in fear of God will live by both of them. To a wise man, wisdom is better protection than 10 rulers in a city. For there isn't a righteous person on earth who does only good and never sins. Boy, what a reminder that is to us all. Verse 21, also, don't take seriously every word spoken, such as when you hear your servant speaking badly of you, because often, as you yourself know, have spoken badly of others. That's an excellent translation of that particular verse, because it's a reminder. You can get all bent out of shape because somebody said something awful about you, in this case, a servant concerning the master, but remember, you've done the same thing. It's easy to cast stones at somebody else whenever you've got a beam sticking out of your own eye. And then verse 23, all this I have put to the test of wisdom. I said, I will acquire wisdom, but wisdom remained far away from me. That which exists is far away and deep, so deep that it cannot be discovered. So I turned myself and my thoughts to know, search out and seek wisdom and the reasons behind things. Also to know how foolish it is to be wicked and how stupid to act like a fool. I found more bitter than death the woman who is a trap, whose heart is a snare, and whose hands are like prison chains. The man who pleases God will escape from her, but the sinner will be caught by her. I have found this, says Koheleth, adding one thing to another to reach a conclusion. I searched a long time without finding it. One man in 1,000 I have found, but a woman among all those have I not found. This is the only thing I have found, that God hath made human beings upright, but they have devised many schemes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your goodness to us, and I pray that you would open your word to our hearts tonight as we consider these lessons from chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In the first 14 verses, we had counsel for better living. And now we come to this passage of Scripture in verses 15 through the end of the chapter. And it deals with lessons, if you would, or counsel for balanced living. We saw better living in the first 14 verses. That's where we saw it so many times mentioned, that word tob in the Hebrew. Now we come to verse 15, and there's a major shift that takes place. As Koheleth, considers things that should be balanced in our lives. I've gotten older, as you know, and you can see, and my balance is not like what it used to be. I used to be able to do things like I could actually ride a unicycle. I had a little bit of fun with that. I had a boy in our class that brought one to school one day, and so we all took turns learning how to ride a unicycle. How many of you have ever ridden a unicycle? Really? I'm the only person here. Unicycles back in the 70s used to be a thing, and you could see them around and so forth like that, but I learned how to ride a unicycle, and I had good balance then. If you put me on a unicycle today, I'd be at the hospital. I'd be one big scab, and I just don't have the balance that I used to have. But when it comes to the Christian life, we can balance things, and here Solomon kind of changes the tone and where he's going and says, listen, there has to be some understanding about life here upon this earth. And be careful that you're not like a pendulum that swings way too far to one side and way too far to the other side. We have to strike a balance in our understanding, lest we go to extremes. And we all know we live in times of extremes. We're seeing the extreme absence of honesty. To say that there is more than one sex than male and female is dishonest. It's a lie. How did the pendulum swing so far that we could come up with 52 different genders? It's nonsense. It's complete and utter nonsense. How do we swing that far? It's we've gone to extreme. And then you can go the other way, where you live in almost where you're creating Scripture where Scripture does not exist. We have to be careful about that. So we have to be careful that we moderate our thinking and understand some basic things. And so I want to share that. First of all, in verses 15 through 22 of what we have just read, Koheleth here shares things that should be done in moderation. That should be done in moderation. Now, it's good to like things. You might like Coca-Cola. You remember the cola wars that took place between Pepsi and Coke? And Coke decided they were going to come up with a brand new flavor. And they came out in the late 80s with that, and it flopped like you wouldn't believe. Nobody wanted to drink it. It didn't taste good. And so they went back to the original formula. We're going back to the original formula. I remember the big advertising campaign that they made. I think they did that on purpose. And it was part of the cola wars between Pepsi and Coke, which one tasted better and so forth like that. But you should never drink a 2-liter bottle at one sitting. What is wrong with you? It's not good to drink. I watch these boys at school. Luke carries a 1-gallon jug with him everywhere he goes. Now, no wonder his muscles are so big. He carries around that 1-gallon thing, and I said, Luke, do you drink the whole thing? Oh, I'm getting started, Mr. Brainerd. I'm going to drink the whole thing today. And he does. A whole gallon of water. And if I did that myself, I would be living in the men's restroom. I would never be able to get any work done. As a diabetic, that would not work very well. But here's a young guy, 17, and he needs it for his workouts and so forth, so he drinks that gallon of water. But I would not recommend it for everybody. It's not good. You should drink in moderation. Drink in moderation. So, there are things, Christian, that we learn from this about doing things in moderation and being careful not to swing too far to one side or swing to the other, but keep it with a proper understanding. The righteous do not always prosper, nor do the wicked always suffer. Now that's something that you need to take heart in. The righteous don't always prosper. There are times that God sends us through these periods of dearth, it seems like, to teach us to depend on Him. And it doesn't always happen that the consequences all flood into the wicked and they all get their just desert. Sometimes they live full lives in their wickedness and they die billionaires. Now think about that. They can't take any of it with them. And it didn't bring them an ounce of happiness. But they had it. They had all the things that this world has, but they died without Jesus Christ. So you have to understand that the righteous don't always prosper and the wicked don't always get it. It's not always black and white in that regard. So that understanding we learn in verse 15. Let me read again from the Jewish Bible. In my life, I've seen everything. From the righteous person perishing in his uprightness to the wicked one who lives a long life and keeps on doing wrong. That's a balanced understanding about what you're going to deal with in life. Remember, there are several times that David in the Psalms talks about how come the wicked seem to always prosper. They get away with it all the time. Oh, they may seem like it, but one day there will be a judgment. There will be a coming to justice. So we have to have a balanced view of this. It doesn't always happen where the righteous come out on the top. It's not always, I'm happy, 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 happy all the time. You know, I always worry about people that I see that are happy all the time. You wonder what's juicing them up. You know, some people, you know, when you come into work in the morning, not everybody is like, you know, happy, happy. Sometimes I'll out in the parking lot, I'll pull up there and somebody will be getting out and you'll hear, oh, and they get out of their vehicle. That's a long step for a Monday. Okay. Miss Kelly did that in her truck. She was getting out of her big Dodge truck and she stepped out and she went and she's short. And so she went all the way down to the ground. Oh, I heard it. I said, are you all right over there? Do we need to call 911? All right. You know, pain, slipped out of your vehicle. Nobody's ever done that before. Some of you looking at me that way. Oh, we've all done that. We've all fallen out of our vehicles or tripped on the invisible route in the yard, fallen off a bicycle. Those things just happen in life. And so we need to understand that it seems as if sometimes the wicked live long lives and keep on doing wrong. But there's a price that will be paid. We need to avoid extremism in seeking to be wise, which in turn causes us to become proud. You can know a lot and be very wise, and that turn to pride. I will never forget sitting in a preacher boys class at Bob Jones University when Dr. Rupp, who was our leader at that particular time of the preacher boys class, the ministerial class, got up and he said, men, he said, I just need to talk heart to heart with you. The president of this class that was voted on at the beginning of the semester is no longer with us. We had to expel him last night. And then he told the story about how over Christmas that he had gotten involved with his girlfriend back at his local church and got her pregnant, came back to school and tried to pretend like nothing else was wrong. And then the parents contacted the university and said, our daughter is pregnant and the father is the president of the preacher boys class. And I remember sitting there as I was listening to that. This young man had preached several times to our ministerial class. He was impressive. He was impressive. But he had us all fooled. Now, people sin. But don't get me wrong. Any one of us could do that. But here was someone that came back after being involved with his girlfriend and continued to preach impressive messages to our group. But he was living a lie. He was hiding something. And so Dr. Rupp said, we're going to stop right now. We're going to pray for him. He's in denial that he's done anything wrong. We've had to expel him from the university. His family is extremely upset with the university that we would expel him, but we cannot have a young man continuing in a leadership position in our school who is in denial for what he had done. Now, here was a young man that had all the earmarks of being a powerful preacher of the Word of God, but to become arrogant that he could do no wrong. We have to be careful about that. Seeking to impress people with wisdom and knowledge, but in reality we're living a life that's a fraud and a fake. Solomon says, I've seen that. I've seen that. This pursuit of wisdom in arrogance. Now, you and I have to be careful of that. We ought to pursue wisdom, but not for our pride and arrogance, but rather for living to honor God and helping others. There's a big difference. But we need to also avoid extremism and wickedness. Notice what he says there in verse 17. But don't be overly wicked and don't be foolish. Why should you die before your time? And every day in the newspaper we find foolish living taking the lives of individuals, speeding, doing stunts, jumping off of houses and taping it, thinking that's the funniest thing that's ever happened to mankind, breaking legs and having to go to the hospital, and laughing and thinking that's just going to extremes in stupidity. What does Solomon say here? He says, be careful of that. Why should you die before your time? You can kill yourself with stupid. That's what he's saying. I think we ought to teach that to our young people, don't you? We ought not to laugh whenever they do foolish things. We should say, hey, wait a minute. That's foolish. Don't do that. You're going to end your life early doing that. That's okay. That's wisdom speaking up. We ought not to stand back and say, well, one of these days they'll learn their lesson. Yeah, you may be going to their funeral when you could have spoken up and said something. Hey, watch out for that. I'm thankful that I had parents that were alert to that kind of stuff. Every time we went out somewhere, said, now listen, you do what's right. You honor the Lord. Don't do something stupid that would hurt yourself or harm somebody else. We don't think about that sometimes, of collateral damage that's caused by extremism in youth. And so we have to be careful. We have to keep things in check. Verse 18, don't refrain from true righteousness and wisdom. I think that's important to keep in mind when that idea of true righteousness and wisdom. There is that which people define as righteousness when in reality it's not. Or they'll define something as wisdom when in reality it's not wisdom. It doesn't meet the smell test of the Scriptures. So we want to make sure we don't refrain from the good stuff. Verse 18 in the Hebrew Bible, don't grasp just one of these rules. Take a hold of the other as well, for he who is in fear of God will live by both of them. Talking about the extremism of the previous verse. Get a hold of both, and you will honor God in the fear of God, and you will have success in your life. He goes on. Fearing God will help you escape extremism. Wisdom is a source of strength, but no one is perfect in this world. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect family. There's no perfect individual. But our job is not to be perfect. Our job is to honor God. Now, it would be wonderful if we were perfect. Some of you may say, well, you just need to come to my house. I'll show you perfection. Yeah. Well, the first moment that I stepped into your house, there would be imperfection. Just giving you a little notice on that. I had a person that I respected that told me, said, I am so disappointed. I've been looking for the perfect church and I haven't found one yet. And I said, well, you're looking in vain. Why would you look for something that the Bible says doesn't exist? Who is the church, by the way? Jesus Christ, and we are part of His body, called the body of Christ. Amen? And our perfection is not found in us. The perfection's found in Him. So you're searching for something outside of Him, and you think it's going to be perfect? Don't be foolish in that regard. Understand that everybody's imperfect. You might sit back and criticize somebody else over here, but you know what? Have you examined your own life? Do you use the same kind of scrutiny on yourself that you do for others? Very rarely. Very rarely do we do that. Well, we don't scrutinize ourselves. We're already there. We're looking down on others. You're in a position of pride. You are filled with arrogance, and you need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Use the same scrutiny on yourself that you use for others. That's what we find here in this passage of Scripture. Don't take to heart everything you hear. Boy, this is a great one. Verse 21. Also, don't take seriously every word spoken. Because sometimes things are said in the heat of a moment that a person may not necessarily mean or should have never said. But it's easy to apply the ruler of speech on other people. Aha! They said something about me. They're disloyal to me. Wait a minute. What have you said about others? Have you been loyal to them? Oh, how easy it is to find fault with other people and what they say whenever we have said the same things. There was a lawmaker that got up this past week. A city council person up in the Northeast had gotten up in a city meeting, and she was speaking from the podium, and she said she was critical of those that were not there at the meeting. Do you realize that she had the highest absentee rate of all the city council people? One of the news reporters after that said, "We just did some research, and you've missed more times than anybody else combined on the city council, and you're chiding them for not being there for this particular meeting where she was chairing." She was saying it was racist that they didn't come. All right? But she wasn't coming to the meeting. What is that? What do we call that? When somebody calls out others for their absenteeism and they're the ones that are absent the most, that's not honest. That's dishonest. So we have to understand that, by the way, is extremism. When you apply a standard to somebody else that you yourself do not keep, that's a major problem. And so we need to back it up a little bit and let God's Word saturate our hearts. You may hear another curse you, verse 22, yet you have likely cursed someone at some time as well. Apply the standard evenly. That includes you. Apply the standard evenly. And I have found in my own life that when I backed it up and looked, I said, yep, I failed there. And I'm applying a standard to somebody else that I failed in myself. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. Sin of arrogance and pride. Forgive me for that. Let's go on to another thought. The latter part of this chapter, verses 23 through 29, we'll finish this up. Wisdom alone cannot always give an answer. Are you stunned by what I just said? I got something I brought along tonight. This is my official Parent Line safety vest. All right? Are you impressed? Now, I wear this every day thanks to Camilla. She bought me this. Mr. Brainerd, you have to have one like us. So she bought me this vest. This is a safety vest. This repels automobiles. One can be coming at me, and I stand there, and boink, bounces off. Right? What do they call these safety vests? The only thing that it does is it has reflective tape. Do you see that in the light? All right. Now, in the daytime, does it matter if you've got on reflective gear? No. If I step out in front of a car that's going by, I'm going to get hit. I'm going to get run over, and my safety vest will fail me. Some people say, I have wisdom. Got it. I have wisdom. Now that, folks, is like a safety vest. It's to be used with common sense. This safety vest did not come and said it repels cars and semi-trucks, airplanes, helicopters, motorcycles, bicyclists, speeding children from the playground to the school building. No, it's a safety vest, but we all understand what safety means. It means wearing this makes people gawk at me. I don't know how many people. I was laughing with the students the other day. I said, I've gotten more compliments since Camilla bought that. Mr. Brainerd, man, you look very impressive out there. I didn't get one compliment. All the years I've been doing it, I put on a safety vest and I got 100 compliments. Oh, Mr. Brainerd, you look sharp out there. I like that color. So, honey, I'm not getting that color? Okay. I got all kinds of compliments. And so I forgot to wear mine one day this week. I was reminded by at least 5 parents, where's your safety vest, Mr. Brainerd? I forgot it. Now, this little piece of material right here will not stop anything. It won't stop anything. Now, maybe at night, people will see me and go, and maybe I won't get hit. Or maybe it'll be, this won't stop a car. The idea behind this is that I wear it, I use it with common sense, just to make people aware. It drew attention, didn't it? It got the attention of all those parents out there in Paraline. Hey, Mr. Brainerd, looking good out there. But it really, safety is kind of a misnomer because it doesn't shield me. This thing is not bulletproof either. Did you know that? Okay. It's not knife-proof, arrow-proof, bulletproof. It's nothing-proof. It's just material. Now, I'm making an important distinction here about wisdom. Wisdom will help you. But wisdom cannot answer every question because there's a lot of questions that we won't know the answers to until we get to heaven. Amen? So wisdom is limited, just like this vest. It's limited. It'll do some things, but it won't do all things. And wisdom in your life will do good things, but it won't always answer all the questions of life. Some people can't deal with that. They struggle with that. I want an answer! You know, I wanted that too in math class. You know, a lot of times, I need to answer, Lord. I have no idea what to do. I don't know what function I'm supposed to be using here. Lord, I need an answer, and I'd put something down. Jesus. Jesus is always the answer, right? Right, Mrs. Pepper? Do you accept that in math class? No. Neither did the teacher. Mr. O'Pager never accepted that. Jesus is the answer to this question. Yeah, it didn't work. Limited doesn't have all the answers, does it? It's just the vest you put on that raises awareness that you're standing there. I'm going to develop this further as we continue on in our study. But there are some things that wisdom is limited in. And you strive to find the answer in wisdom, and it's not there. I understand and know that some things won't be answered on this side of heaven. I just have to trust the Lord. Can we do that? Trust the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you that you teach us that there are some things in this world that are just limited. We just don't know. We don't fully understand. Help us to grow up spiritually and to realize that sometimes we just have to exercise faith in you, our Lord and Savior, and understand and know that when we stand in your presence someday, we'll have all the answers that we need. And we'll understand what you were doing, but on this side of heaven, we won't. Help us to have the courage to accept that and the faith to demonstrate that we understand it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.